Turkey Call All Access, the official podcast of the National Wild Turkey Federation. Brought to you by Nomad. Turkey Call All Access is a digital campfire where we discuss topics of the day, conservation efforts, tips and techniques to better your experience afield, and our members' stories. Welcome back to another episode of the Turkey Call All Access podcast. On this episode, we're with Matt Light of the Light Foundation. You've heard from Matt before in previous episodes. Matt Light is a former NFL player and three-time Super Bowl champion. He is also the founder of the Light Foundation. They do really great work connecting people with the outdoors, nature, and not just that, helping to instill values like hard work, responsibility, connection to their community in young people. The Light Foundation does some really awesome work that intersects with turkey hunting. And we're really excited to share this conversation with you all. We'll get right to it in 90 seconds.
Hey, y'all, I'm Jason Hart, founder of Nomad Hunting Clothing. At Nomad, we're bringing simplicity and authenticity back to hunting. Whether you hunt to escape your hectic work life, for locally sourced organic meat, or to socialize with friends, to uphold your favorite family traditions, we're with you and we do the same. At Nomad, we understand your gear's an investment, so our products are engineered and priced for every hunter, tested in the real world, and designed to last. Hunting is in all of us. Nomad is with you.
Hey, guys, this is Aaron with The Hunting Public. Each spring, we head to the woods chasing turkeys, and one overlooked product that we use religiously is Sawyer permethrin. We've used it for years to keep ticks off of us, and it's worked extremely well. We don't like messing around with Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anything like that. So I would highly recommend, if you're a spring turkey hunter spending any time in warmer climates in the outdoors, to use Sawyer permethrin. Learn about their advanced insect repellents and family of technical lightweight water filters at Sawyer.com.
Bass Pro Shops and the National Wild Turkey Federation stand together to help make a difference for the wildlife and scenic lands that enrich our hunting lifestyle. Since 1973, we have positively impacted more than 22 million acres and invested more than $9 million into wild turkey research, an effort supported by Bass Pro Shops. The restoration of the wild turkey is one of America's greatest conservation success stories, but the work is far from over. Through the continued contributions of partners like Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shops, the NWTF mission is a movement that is delivering the right conservation work at the right place and at the right scale.
I mean, look, I didn't see a football game in my life until I played in one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm dead serious. Like, had no idea that Purdue was in the Big Ten, never watched football, didn't care about football. My dad grew up with severe polio. Obviously, he didn't play sports. So for me, man, everything we did, every vacation was either a rendezvous, pre-1800 encampment. Like, literally, that's the only vacations we took. Or Yellowstone or some park.
Yeah.
Like, everything we did, man, was we're going to hunt it. We're going to eat it. We're going to have fun trapping it. We're going to write about it. My dad's brother took over for my grandfather, who took over for his father, my great-grandfather, writing the outdoor column in the local paper, Lights Outdoors. I created one of my LLCs after that moniker and that kind of way of life. And I mean, shoot, football, dude, I just got lucky.
Yeah.
Figured it out along the way and made some stuff happen.
I mean, it's neat, you know, with like the mission of this organization, conservation of wild turkey, preservation of our hunting heritage. And we talk a ton about the conservation side. That's what people like. They like that, you know, they like to see timber improvements and the dollars in the dirt or whatever, but that heritage side, it's bigger than just, you know, there's a heritage for all of us as hunters, and then there's a heritage for us like individually. And I thought that's neat. You're talking about like Lights Out and your dad and all these folks like that have helped create like your heritage as a hunter.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, what has been passed down, whether it's a tradition to go up north, deer camp, whatever it may be, right? If it's a turkey spot that's been in the family for a long time, if it's land that's been leased or owned, you know, that you've gotten to know over the years, and you can look at, you know, every little piece of it and find a story within a story or a hunt, you know, that is reminiscent of something that you're doing in that particular moment 20 years later. I mean, that is the tradition of hunting. And I think, you know, for me, you know, my uncle would come pick me up and he'd be like, hey, man, we're going to go fish this lake down here. And we go fish it. A couple weeks later, I'd see an article that he'd write in a paper and have me. And I'd be, you know, when you're a kid and you see your name in a paper, you're like, man, this is the coolest thing in the world, right? And, you know, my uncle wrote back in the day, I've gone back and cataloged all of his articles and I've digitized them. And when I look at the things that he spoke about then, slob hunters, you know, guys that didn't respect the outdoors and, and the impact that it had on people that were trying to go ask for permission to hunt a property. But those people had been scarred by a slob hunter. You know, it's the same stuff we face today. And everything's cyclical, but it's no truer in the outdoor world, right? Like, we have people today that care about putting their name and image on a picture with an animal, but it doesn't go any deeper than that. And so whether they were, you know, ethically right, or they were a real outdoorsman, a real hunter or not, it doesn't matter, because the word that gets translated the most is, this guy just wants to pose with an animal. So, you know, today more than ever, you have to be more careful. You have to be more respectful of what we've been handed down, you know. And in this country, you know, look, I've had the opportunity to hunt places like England and South America and all these cool spots and these destinations, been blessed to do it. But they don't have the freedom we do, you know. And it's not just freedom. It's just the access, the ability to go out and enjoy ourselves. And whether it's habitat restoration or it's just, you know, going out with a friend on their property and being able to do what we do and what we love the most, that doesn't exist in a lot of places. So, you know, we have an awesome responsibility to not only, you know, put the right stuff out there, but to make sure that the younger people understand that, hey, you know, this could easily be gone. And I'm not sure that people fully understand that, you know, even today.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would agree with that. I mean, it's something that a lot, you know, I think we, a lot of us take for granted, you know, the access that we have, the, you know, the organizations, the help fund wildlife like this organization and several across this country, and just the agencies that we have, you know, that work on behalf of the wildlife and on the hunters. It's a very unique, like, we're very fortunate, I think, in this country.
Yeah, and you know, even as recent as 2 years ago, I get introduced to TRCP. Mm-hmm. Had no idea, you know, really what they were doing. Heard about it, you know, this Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. You know, sounds like something I'd be interested in. I get to go to one of their banquets. You learn about it. You get to see the initiatives and what people are doing at the state level too, right? In the state of Montana, you go there, you hunt with people, you get to hear about, you know, what they're doing with this tracker land or what this family's donated or how the state's going to utilize this resource. And man, there's people doing it at a really high level, doing some really neat things. And I think it's kind of akin to what we found in the NFL, man. There was a time where concussive episodes were brought up and it was like, hey man, nobody's sharing information. And I think what you see now is more people are sharing information and we're understanding, you know, how we can collaborate versus just be on islands. And I think the more that we can do that, right? We saw it with the league. We started sharing information on concussive episodes. We started to gain a much better picture and insight into how we can, you know, curb a lot of the bad parts of that. Yeah. The game got better, got safer. Same kind of things will happen as we start to share information, whether it's at the state agencies, federal agencies, the research, the grants, stuff that, you know, Dr. Michael Chamberlain is, you know, leading the charge on in the realm of turkeys and habitat restoration, and hey, what's really going on with our populations? There's so many more people with inputs that are coming to the table. And I think the more that we can manage those things and understand that, hey, collectively, we're going to be a heck of a lot better than if we do this as individuals, you know, we'll continue to see the success.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting, man. Like, for a person like me, like, I can remember I joined QDMA, and I remember, you know, many years later they joined with NDA, and you have all these groups that are gathering data and you know, it's really important, I think, not only to support those organizations, but my goodness, is there a better success story than what NWTF has done? You know, in terms of, I mean, I didn't have a bird. I mean, nobody in my part of Ohio talked about a bird. You know, turkeys don't run wild in the state of Ohio when I'm growing up. And now we're at a point where, daggone, man, we have kids in the outdoors and they're having all kinds of success. And, you know, we're introducing them to an amazing sport, and look at the fun we're having. So it's amazing what can happen in a short period of time, relatively. Although, obviously, a lot of work's been going on for a long time.
Now you're talking 51 years.
Yeah, wow.
Effort, man. That's
I know. Cool. I remember the banners last year, my first year here. I was like, 50 years? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that your first, like, experience with the NWTF? Or?
It was. You know, always wanted to get to it. Always had something else pop up. And I have to say this. Of all the places that I've been that are on this level, right, whether you're talking SHOT Show, you're talking an SCI, you're talking like a Western big game kind of convention, right, what I left here saying was, you know, as big as this was, it still had that good old boy campfire feel.
Yeah.
And I don't know there's a better way to, you know, to say congrats and to say what a job well done. I mean, if you can do that with an event this big, I think you're doing something pretty special.
I'll tell you what, this is my third convention, and there's a saying that we have here just as employees. You come for the people, right? It could either be an event, a banquet, or, you know, it's just a job, right? You come for the people, you stay for the mission.
Yeah.
And then and part of that mission, you know, that heritage we talked about, it's just like that family feel. I mean, it's just like a reunion. And every year that I come back, I see more and more people that I see once or twice a year, and it starts here. I love it, man.
Yeah. And what I love too is that, you know, no icon, no person of that's noteworthy or visible to, you know, the general public shied away from engaging in a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people that have gotten a big head, forgotten maybe who they were or where they came from or the people that helped get them there.
Sure.
And I remember last year just thinking, man, everybody here is on par. And probably my favorite part was going over to the Falls Bar and listening to guys hoot owl from one of the rooms three stories up. I was like, now that's my kind of people. I'm at home right here.
Yeah, that was I have a memory just burned into my mind. My first year here, I had my door open, going out to the atrium. It was midnight. I'm sound asleep, and I wake up. I'm like, is that an owl? Yeah. Is that 50 owls? It's people just owl hooting, man. I love it. So tell me about your foundation that you've started.
You know, 2001, I get drafted and didn't know if the ball was pumped or stuffed, as my O-line coach used to like to remind me. And after this crazy year in 2001, we go to and win a Super Bowl. I mean, I remember thinking to myself, like, first of all, they're going to find out they made a big mistake. Secondly, when they do, you know, what am I really doing with what I've been given, right? And I come from a long line of educators. You know, my dad taught, my mom taught music for 35 years. I knew I wanted to make an impact. I knew I wanted to work with kids. I knew I wanted to use the outdoors as a tool. So in 2002, we formed the Light Foundation. And since that time, we've gone from an organization that, you know, we would support other nonprofits to saying, hey, we want to own the impact that we're going to make. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. We've got a team of people that do the work of an army. And they're about nine deep. We serve about 7,500 kids annually through our outdoor programming. It all falls under the Light Foundation leadership umbrella. So we have the Leadership Academy. Through the Leadership Academy, we're working with kids to, you know, introduce them to timber framing. And people are like, well, what's that to do with leadership? Well, quite a bit when you put a tool in their hand and you tell them to work with somebody they've never been around before, and you challenge them in ways to show up on time, work hard, you know, put a little skin in the game to even get an opportunity to come do it. Things like our youth turkey hunts, you know, well, what's that have to do with leadership? Well, they have to fill out an essay. You know, they get graded on that essay. They have to fill in an application and make sure it's in on time, right? They got to volunteer for community service hours that are all about, you know, habitat restoration so that they can see, you know, some of the things that give us the ability to go out and hunt these birds, right? And it's much more than just hunting turkeys, right? Again, it's interacting with other kids. So through the Life Foundation, we've created unique programs that I think when you really boil them all down, whether it's our cultural leadership camp, our, you know, career educational tours we take kids on, you know, things like our Light Project, where we're getting first graders to read. It's just spending time with young people, man. It's that simple. And really bringing the people that had a major influence in my life to be mentors and look at them and say, hey, man, what about this way? You know, hey, walk with me for a second. Let's talk about this for a minute. And man, it's been an absolute. It's been a number one thing in my life. I don't remember plays on the field. No. I mean, I know every time I got ejected or had a major foul or a penalty, and it cost me a lot of money. Outside of that, the things that have always stuck with me. And again, like this started in 02. You know, I had a year under my belt, and never thought I'd last more than 3 or 4 years, maybe. Ended up playing 11 seasons, and now I've been doing this work outside of football as much as when I did play. And been able to get more involved in a lot of areas. Again, we have a small team. They work their tails off. We own everything from events. Look, every dollar that comes into the Life Foundation, our team has played a role. So they know how precious that those resources are. Yeah. And people entrust with you something that they've worked hard, and they want to give it to you because they believe in your mission. Well, you got to prove it every day. You know, and you got to make sure that whatever you're doing with that, not only is the impact felt, but that the people that are leading that charge, right, that they are the best example of what you produce. So if we're talking leadership, we better have the best leaders, right? You know, if we're preaching, you know, looking people in the eye and thanking them and yes, sir, and no, sir, and all those little things that add up to be major parts of growing up and having respect for the people around you, we better model that too, right? And so I'm proud to say that, you know, over 20 some odd years of doing this, you know, we've been able to work with some of the best people on earth. And in turn, we get to make an impact with some awesome young people.
Hey guys, this is Aaron with The Hunting Public. Each spring we head to the woods chasing turkeys, and one overlooked product that we use religiously is Sawyer permethrin. We've used it for years to keep ticks off of us, and it's worked extremely well. We don't like messing around with Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anything like that. So I would highly recommend, if you're spring turkey hunting or spending any time in warmer climates in the outdoors, to use Sawyer permethrin. Learn about their advanced insect repellents and family of technical lightweight water filters at Sawyer.com.
Bass Pro Shops and the National Wild Turkey Federation stand together to help make a difference for the wildlife and scenic lands that enrich our hunting lifestyle. Since 1973, we have positively impacted more than 22 million acres and invested more than $9 million into wild turkey research, an effort supported by Bass Pro Shops. The restoration of the wild turkey is one of America's greatest conservation success stories, but the work is far from over. Through the continued contributions of partners like Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shops, the NWTF mission is a movement that is delivering the right conservation work at the right place and at the right scale.
Hey y'all, I'm Jason Hart, founder of Nomad Hunting Clothing. At Nomad, we're bringing simplicity and authenticity back to hunting. Whether you hunt to escape your hectic work life, for locally sourced organic meat, or to socialize with friends, to uphold your favorite family traditions, we're with you and we do the same. At Nomad, we understand your gear's an investment, so our products are engineered and priced for every hunter, tested in the real world, and designed to last. Hunting is in all of us. Nomad is with you.
How is the... how has the organization, how has the mission evolved over the years? I mean, 20 years, 2 decades, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. How has it grown since those first years?
You know, when we first started out, in my mind, it was like, hey, we just won a Super Bowl too. It doesn't hurt. You know, success goes a long way in making you look good. Yeah. You know, I just said, hey, let's do something. Let's raise some money. We got this platform, and we're kind of a hot item right now, right? And had no idea we'd go on to have the kind of success we had, which definitely propelled us. But we went from a throughway where we said, hey, NWTF, man, love what you guys are doing. Let us support you with this. To then saying, no, we want to own that. And what we've learned is that young people, and especially young men, like we started out, our flagship program was taking these four young men from a different part of the country every year and bringing them in with a group of 12 other young men that represented freshmen, sophomore, juniors, seniors in high school, because they stay in this program for 4 years. And we're looking at this and we're saying, you know what they really want? They want to have somebody that puts boundaries to what they do. as much as a look, I'll be the first one to say, when I was a young man, you want to come put boundaries around me, I'm going to probably make life miserable for all of us, right? So as much as we want to fight it, the truth is there's comfort in knowing what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And if you're rudderless, if no one's putting any boundaries around you, it's amazing how much you know intuitively, like somewhere in the back of your mind, I need to have something that's a guiding light. And so it's been something that we've learned over time working with young men, and then we apply it to everything we do. Be very direct, be very intentional with how you want to make an impact, right? Don't just go through the motions, and bring your passion and why to what you're doing, to everything you do, and watch how it interacts with these kids. And listen, I don't relate to every kid, but there's somebody on my staff that does, right? And it's cool to see those interactions. So over the years, I think probably the best thing that I've seen is, A, you can make an impact. And to piggyback that, there was a moment not that long ago in 2021, after a year of COVID, and we never stopped what we did. We got chastised. We had some people that weren't real impressed with us, but we kept going because we knew that these young people needed us. We may have been the only thing in their lives that they could get away to, right? And we weren't gonna let that go. But I remember thinking in 21, like, man, are these kids really appreciative? Do they care? Like, we're busting our butts. We're doing everything we can for them. And I was starting to feel a little sorry for myself. Like, you know, they're not really taking advantage of it. The one thing I can tell you is, as bad as it may be, you can always speak truth to young people and they will respond. And that was an eye opener for me. So, you know, whether you're, you know, somebody that works with kids or not, you know, I think the saving grace is you stick around long enough and you realize that even if everybody doesn't get it, there's enough that do, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the new raffle that you have going on. This thing's pretty neat.
We launched this raffle. It goes back quite a while. It took a guy out for his first turkey hunt. He had unbelievable success. Went down to Florida. We actually sold this, raised, I want to say, 40 or 50,000 for the foundation at one of our biggest events. And the guys that bought it went down, had a great time. I told a friend of mine that introduced us to this area where this hunt took place. And he got his friend to donate it to us. I said, hey, man, you've never hunted before. Come down here and let's get you on your first hunt. And he ends up killing a 44-pound albino Osceola in the great state of Florida. Yeah. And now he had it mounted. And, of course, he wanted to give me all kind of hell because he, on his very first hunt ever, killed the largest bird. And he gets called by Florida Game and Fish. They do this massive article. And the following year, at the same event we sold this at, he's up on stage telling the world that he's the Tom Brady of turkey hunting, killed the Moby Dick of turkey. And in front of 500 people, he found out that this world record was actually a broad-breasted white turkey that I bought and put in the woods. So this documentary we released tells the story of the Tom Brady of turkey hunting. And it's been, I mean, and I love that Jamie Marshall, who this happened to, he's a board member, actually a dear friend of mine. We laughed. I mean, for years we've been laughing about what happened because he told the world about this epic hunt of his, right? And so we put it all together. We had some, you know, legends in the turkey realm, you know, Mikey Miller, the turkey killer, Willie Robertson, you know, we had Mark Drury, you know, we had all these guys that have, you know, Jordan Summit from Strut Commander talking about him and what he did and helping us tell this story. But really the reason we told this story is because A, it's funny. And when you watch it, trust me, you're going to die laughing. Yeah. But we bring it all full circle to say, hey, look, what's real is this work we do through the foundation. And if you want a chance to go down and hunt a real turkey at this Gilchrist Club where this took place, people can do that by coming in on this raffle. And so you go online and get as many tickets as you want. And our grand prize winner is going to get an all expense paid trip down to the Gilchrist Club. I'm going to help guide. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be a riot. And all the money raised, especially in a platform like this, goes to the work we do, you know, to help us fuel the programs and the mission and camps and turkey hunts and all that stuff. So these things have been great to us over the years, man. And we think this will be a big one. And you know, I like these kind of things, right? Like the big dogs can show up and they can buy the hunt for $100,000 or $50,000 or $10,000. That's great. But that's not my family. That's not, you know, most of the people I hang with. But for, hey, $10, get an opportunity. And if you win and you can't go, you get to send a buddy of yours. Man, they're going to have the time of their lives.
Yeah, they are. So if people want to get in on that, where can they find that information?
So they can go to turkeytouchdown.com.
Okay.
Ooh, amazingly, that website wasn't taken. Weird.
Yeah.
turkeytouchdown.com. They can also go to mattlight72.com. We got all the information there with a little pop-up. And you can also check out what we do. And I'll tell you, man, it's awesome. Through things like this, we get to have a little fun, tell a great story. I think people are going to love that. But hopefully, they'll check out what we do and who we are.
For sure. What's your turkey season plans for 24? You got anything laid out yet?
Man, you know, so in 21, I actually was fortunate enough to go down to the Yucatan and chase one of those crazy, colorful, nutty oscillateds. And that was a dream come true. I'm definitely going to hit out west. I'll hit Montana.
Okay.
Starting down in Florida on this hunt that we're raffling off. That'll be a great one. Definitely then the next hunt after that will be in Ohio for our youth turkey hunt. That's always a reunion, you know. It's one of those things that I think we as guides get as much as those kids do, just get to be around each other, watching all these kids, getting to meet them. And then we'll go to our Rhode Island youth hunt the following weekend, and then I'll be getting my kids out in the woods and focused on them. And then, you know, really a lot of our time spent in the Northeast, and, you know, a lot of people haven't hunted the Northeast. And I think if you're an avid turkey hunter, it's an area that you should target, you know, at least once. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, definitely. Matt, thanks for your time.
Man, listen, you do. Appreciate it. Yes, have fun.
Hey guys, this is Aaron with The Hunting Public. Each spring we head to the woods chasing turkeys, and one overlooked product that we use religiously is Sawyer permethrin. We've used it for years to keep ticks off of us, and it's worked extremely well. We don't like messing around with Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anything like that. So I would highly recommend, if you're spring turkey hunting or spending any time in warmer climates in the outdoors, to use Sawyer permethrin. Learn about their advanced insect repellents and family of technical lightweight water filters at Sawyer.com.
Bass Pro Shops and the National Wild Turkey Federation stand together to help make a difference for the wildlife and scenic lands that enrich our hunting lifestyle. Since 1973, we have positively impacted more than 22 million acres and invested more than $9 million into wild turkey research, an effort supported by Bass Pro Shops. The restoration of the wild turkey is one of America's greatest conservation success stories, but the work is far from over. Through the continued contributions of partners like Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shops, the NWTF mission is a movement that is delivering the right conservation work at the right place and at the right scale.
Hey y'all, I'm Jason Hart, founder of Nomad Hunting Clothing. At Nomad, we're bringing simplicity and authenticity back to hunting. Whether you hunt to escape your hectic work life, for locally sourced organic meat, or to socialize with friends, to uphold your favorite family traditions, we're with you and we do the same. At Nomad, we understand your gear's an investment, so our products are engineered and priced for every hunter, tested in the real world, and designed to last. Hunting is in all of us. Nomad is with you.